Brian, you had a birthday while we were away. How did you celebrate?
I went out to lunch with my daughter. We went down to the Newburgh waterfront. That was about it. We didn't do too. I mean, there's not much happening right now, so that was about the extent of what we could do.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Hey, happy birthday!
Thank you.
Yes, yeah. Happy birthday. Andrew had one on the same day. I haven't got. We'll get to him in a minute.
Ryan, do you get to play in a new age-protected division yet? Because that's what I'm looking forward to. 40.
I could play that last year.
Okay.
I am in the 50 group. By a year.
Nice.
Yeah.
And who's leading in your fantasy league?
Who was leading? I just looked at it the other day. I think I'm in second or third. Which is it aggravates me. I'm like, I should be better than this. again, kind of like the thing, like people sign up and they don't use their real name. So there's Jeremy, which it could be a couple of Jeremys that I don't know, mm-hmm. is in first. Pasta Willie is in second, which I'm pretty sure that's Bill Newman, I think he said.
Nice.
Pasta. And then I'm in third.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of Pasta Willie, got to call him out for his Volunteer of the Year award.
He just racks it up every year now, doesn't he?
Well, we were going to get to that, but we can do that now. Bill Newman, Volunteer of the Year. Bill Newman has been involved. I'm just reading from exactly what it says here at the PDGA website. Bill Newman has been involved in a number of areas in the sport in New York, where he serves as the PDGA state coordinator as well as designing and assisting with local courses. He's an inductee into the New York State Disc Golf Hall of Fame. Newman serves on the PDGA Discipline and Environmental Committees, where he is leading the Throw Green Initiative. Newman also works with Throw Pink and is an ambassador for running disc golf events for women. The Volunteer of the Year is determined by the vote of the PDGA Board of Directors. The recipient is an active PDGA member who has proven him or herself worthy of special recognition based upon volunteer work performed for the betterment of the association and the sport of disc golf.
You can just tell that he just loves disc golf. You know, I remember maybe it was 2 years ago at the Blaze. He just showed up and just hung around. He was walking around through people's, I think I saw him on hole three. He was watching people tee off. I feel like you always catch him in the background of the DG Pro Tour coverage. he's always in the background. You can just tell that he absolutely loves disc golf. So congratulations to him. That's awesome.
I'm not sure that the five of us combined have played as much disc golf as Bill Newman. So I thought that I would ask a couple common friends, Gary Mason and Josh Pallor.
Yes, Josh Pallor, what are your thoughts on Bill Newman being PDGA Volunteer of the New...
Gary Mason. I'll go first, okay. Quickly, the long and short of it is I met Bill Newman at Mount Kisco, and he told me about an Ultimate Frisbee game at Horace Greeley High School. So I wound up playing Ultimate Frisbee with Bill and his wife, and then Bill quickly stopped playing Ultimate, and then I started playing a lot of disc golf with Bill. He's a tremendous individual. He's definitely is somebody who is always trying to grow the sport and trying to positively bring it to a great direction, which is kind of exactly where disc golf should be.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
You got anything?
Yeah, no.
No, that's not true.
I love you, Uncle Bill. I love you.
How long have you known Bill?
Oh, that's a good question. How long have I known Bill? Since 1995.
I've known Bill.
96.
Probably early 90s. 92, maybe.
See, I've always thought of disc golf as this 70s thing. And it really sounds like there was almost the 70s, but the 90s was really the first... Mild
so
boom?
When I played, I got to play at Kensico Dam.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Which when I played with Scott, it was 1979 because we were just, no, 1982, sorry. We had just graduated college and we didn't even know anything about the Frisbee discs. We were still throwing lids and I had two discs. I had a 175 and a 141 disc, like the smaller disc. And that was what I did. Sometimes I would throw them together to weigh them down even more. Who knew? And we just played. Like, we just didn't know any. We knew nothing.
And there were baskets at that
point?
There
were baskets. The old, like.
Sponsored by Abraham and Strauss. Oh, wow.
They were the baskets that are, like, still left at Buzzy's. The old. Yep. There were 9 holes, and then they removed them one day.
They put the parking lot in. You just park around the circle when
right,
you
walk. Right, around the circle. Right, yeah. And then that was it. And that's, Bill claims that he never, I claim that I met Bill there. He says, no, I never played there. So that's when it goes to 1995. Zoom ahead. Somebody that looked like Bill.
No, it was Bill, Dave Jones, Daver was one of them. And then Ted Overhaus out of Jersey were like the old school freestyle players that started playing.
Did you ever play Kensica?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. But no, I met Bill Kisco. Are we still talking about
that? Honestly, what you guys are just talking about there,
Bill Maher.
Bill Maher? But
Bill
that's, Troy's I would
Bill
love
Troy's
to,
I gotta tell you, did you guys watch Real Time with Bill Maher?
No.
Oh. He has this one segment because he doesn't have a live audience anymore. Mm-hmm. So what he does is he'll tell a joke and then he'll cut to like a crowd shot. And it's like some, like, it could be like at the Apollo Theater. It's just like,
just random, completely random, like crowd
like,
shot.
You
yeah.
know, like you got your life with, Groucho Marx, just like old black and white.
That's funny.
The people are like laughing.
And they say the younger generation has ADD. Anyway.
All right. Andrew.
Yes, sir.
Do you pronounce it coupon or coupon?
I think it depends on my company.
Really?
I would say probably coupon, but if I'm wearing a suit and drinking fancy drinks, I'd probably say coupon. Yeah.
Really?
Don't judge me.
Don't judge me. So how was your birthday/vacation?
Oh, it was great, man. I went down to Charlottesville to visit the fam and meet my little nephew, and he was cute. My brother took me out to this really awesome disc golf course called Raptor's Roost, just outside of Charlottesville. We made tee times. It was in like this gated community, so like we had to make a tee time to like get through the gate. And it was a converted ball golf course. So they had a clubhouse, they had a shop, but it's pretty new. So the guys who owned it are like working out the logistics of like being able to serve food and like serve drinks. Apparently like one of the guys who owns the property, he was there and he was talking to us, and he just kept on saying like, oh man, just like, I hope people come. I hope people like, you know, want to play. And I'm looking around at his like clubhouse with like the vision of like, oh, you can like drink beer here and like eat food and like buy discs. I was like, you build it, they will come, man. Like, don't worry. And the course itself was awesome. There were 3 tees on every hole, 2 baskets. It was fantastic. I also got to play with my dad, who had never
played. I want to hear this story.
Yeah, he had never played disc golf before. So we went to a little 9-hole course. And for the first 9, he was like, all right, I'm just going to throw, you know. We don't have to keep score or anything. I was like, all right, that's fine, man. And so we finished 9. And then next one, he's like, all right, I want to keep score this round. I was like, okay, cool. I had given him one of my like maybe beat eagles. And he's like, I don't think I want this one. Like, do you have anything lighter? I'm like, well, I have like this 150 like G-Star Destroyer. You're welcome to throw that if you want. He's like, yeah, I'll take that one. He was throwing it and putting with it. This is the only disc he wanted. My old man beat me on 9 holes.
You're kidding.
He was parking it out there. It was ridiculous. I couldn't believe it.
How did that make you feel?
I almost put my disc golf bag in the dumpster on the way out from the course.
Well, you're not an overly competitive person, are you, Andrew?
Oh, man. But like with the old man, like, come on. I play disc golf all the time. He was putting with a destroyer. but it was fun. It was a good time. Hopefully, like, that jazzed him to like play more disc golf. Like, when we got home, we watched some like live coverage of the Ledgestone that was happening. I guess now his favorite player is Paul McBeth. So hopefully like we can get him into like, oh yeah, disc golf is cool. Like, we can play together. You can watch it. This is like a legitimate thing, not like a backyard thing.
What about an update for your Slamdemic?
Yeah, so I'm still in. I had a match last week. I played Jared Apple at Kisco. We were playing the longs. There were like a couple trees down in some, like blocking some of the long baskets. But we just played through those anyway. I had never played the long baskets, but Jared was like nice enough to be like, okay, you probably want to throw it here. You probably want to throw it there. And I was breathing like pretty heavy, like to the start. He jammed like a, I think it was like at least 100 feet. He jump putted it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was great. He had like a really smooth form. But I think like in the end, I think I won, but it was like less that I won and more that like he kind of beat himself a little bit. I think he was having like, he was struggling on like putting and I think just kind of like giving away points. But he was a great guy and I enjoyed playing with him. Hope I can do it again.
Yeah. The thing, that's the thing with match play. It's a bit of an equalizer. Jason, you play that with Team Challenge, right?
Yeah, I did previously this past year. I took a break. But yeah, I love Team Challenge.
I mean, the match play aspect of it is just, I mean, it's a whole different game sometimes.
Yeah. Cause like, you know, if they're parked, then you have no choice but to run it. And sometimes, like, if you're going second and they hit the first tree or something, then it just totally changes your gameplay. Yeah, it's not you against the course. It's you against somebody else.
Well, and that's probably what, you know, I don't know. Because I'll be honest with you, Andrew, guys like you and Kimmelman, you can drive somebody crazy with your just pars, pars, pars. Because you know, if you get down a stroke or two, you've got to make that stroke up. You're not giving it away. You might give one of them back, you know, but you're not giving two or three back, you know?
Right, so right.
It can get in your head, and that's part of the fun of it, really. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Anymore. Like when we started getting along to the back nine, I think my mentality was straight from like, oh, you know, try to get to the basket to just like just par out, you know, and like you can win this.
Yeah, I
chess rather than checkers, you know.
It was interesting. I had a chance to play. So I had my semifinal match for the match play, the dynamic thing, the dynamic disc match play, and we had already agreed to play at AGA, the Preserve, which is like a nice course down here in PA. It's part of the Lost Valley Open. And that day, they just happened to be running a flex start C tier. And so he, like a one rounder. And so the guy I was playing, Darren, he's like, do you want to do the tournament too? I'm like, I have to think about that. And so I thought about it and I was like, no, because my match play game is so different than me trying to shoot well in a PDGA C tier, you know, like a rated round, because I feel like if I had two conflicting goals, it would totally mess with my match play, you know, results.
Absolutely.
So I said no.
We'll do match play sometimes for tags and you go by the score. You know what I'm saying? Like we'll finish out the holes just so, and it does, it messes with your head. That's why you do it. It's just kind of fun. You're like, what do I run it? Do I lay it out? You know, it's kind of torment yourself. Fun to torment yourself, you know?
Right. I didn't want to be put in a position where I didn't want to run something.
Not for a rated thing. No.
Yeah, no, but that's why I didn't do it. I was like, you know, you don't want to be in a put a position where you can't run something because you're worried about your round score. You know, it's like I can take an eight on this hole if I run it, and hey, if I make it, great, I win the hole. If not, there's a double bogey. You know, so I thought that was interesting.
I'm sorry. Did you give us the result of the match play?
No, I didn't. But I did win, so that's
good.
Oh
yeah, I was going to ask you that next anyway. Actually, you know what? Let's back it up. Hey, Ryan, how do you pronounce it? Coupon or coupon?
I'm solidly in the coupon camp.
Coupon, okay.
Coupon, always have been. I don't know if it's the Massachusetts in me, but always been coupon to me. I didn't even know I said it weird until my wife pointed it out.
Well, you had a match play round since last we spoke. How did that go?
Well, yeah, I won the Pennsylvania bracket for the dynamic match play. So I've got the invite out to Kansas, back-to-back PA champion, which feels pretty good.
Nice. Congrats, nice. Man.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was, I played, a guy, Ryan Ellis. He's a Lancaster PA guy. And we played Lorelaine, which is a course about an hour and a half from me to the west. It's kind of, it's in a park, mostly open, some woods. But what was funny about it was like, I played it blind, you know, and he had already played a tournament there. So I was a little bit concerned that he was going to have like a big advantage over me because he had played, you know, probably made a couple of mistakes before and knew not to make them. Whereas I was kind of going in blind. So, but it worked out. I won a couple of the holes to start. He actually came back and we were tied after nine. He hit the cage on a shot. I almost went in. It was nuts. It was a great, great shot. But in the end I just ended up, he kind of beat himself in the last couple of holes. I just had to par out. And I think I won with like three holes left. So it was awesome. Yeah, I'm pumped. But now the question is whether I will or should travel out to Kansas, which if I do come back, I'd have to quarantine for 2 weeks because it's on the PA recommended, quarantine order when you get back.
When would this be?
It would be September 18th. So I got to make a decision soon. but the thing is, last year when I went, I might have told you guys this, I slept through my first round. And got eliminated. So I kind of want a shot at redemption.
Yeah, I get that.
With a full night's sleep.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that decision. I got nothing. I thought you, though, would be the one to go to start this topic. Brody Smith has taken a break from the PDGA Tour to go out and practice more, I guess. What are your thoughts, Ryan?
I think he, what's the word? I think he had very high expectations for himself. You know, I think he thought things, you know, I had a lot of faith in Brody. Coming from Ultimate, I went through that transition from Ultimate to disc golf, and it definitely, has some advantages. Like my forehand touch is really good as a result of that. But there's a lot you have to unlearn before you can throw properly. I actually made a bet with one of my buddies, Gabe, that he would be 980 by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I think Gabe thought he had, you know, guaranteed $20 there. And, you know, Brody's rating right now is like a 981 or 982 or something. So, you know, he got really good. I mean, better than me very quickly. But I think to get, you know, once you're at that point, like I've been 960 all year. I'm like right at that mark. And it like every 10 points in ratings just takes, especially once you're like at 950, I feel like it's a slog to get there. Cause it's like, you know, you really got to be excellent in C1X. You can't be having any errant tee shots, you know, everything needs to be down the fairway. And then to get, you know, you got to have a lot of distance at accuracy. So, you know, I think that he probably had high expectations, but realized that, you know, he's got to put in a lot of work to be able to get, you know, in that 1,000 to 1,020 rating to be able to be competitive. You know, I think he was getting frustrated with just not even having a chance. So, you know, I'm glad to see it. Although it was fun watching a couple of his rounds, because it is interesting watching people that are learning, you know? I'm certainly not surprised. And I just hope he sticks with it. You know, I hope it's not like one of the things where, you know, he's kind of done this in the past where he tries something for a year and it doesn't work out and he quits, tries something new. So, hopefully this is him not just, he's invested in like a disc golf company foundation or whatever. So I think he's in it for the long haul, but, I hope that this really means that he's going out and practicing and he's going to come back next year with, new bag of tricks.
What do you think, Brian?
It was definitely interesting to watch him kind of do this. I mean, I think realistically, like he aimed way too high. I mean, you know, to team up with Paul and think you're going to be compete with Paul after a couple months of playing, I thought was ridiculous on his part. I mean, he's going to be a good player if he sticks with it. But for him to like go out on the pro tour under the spotlight, I mean, that was a huge swing for him. I mean, to do that. So I give him credit for that. I mean, he's back down in Texas now. He's still going to play B tiers and C tiers down there. So he's not quitting and not just throwing in the field like he made it sound. But yeah, I think he's doing what he needs to do. He needs to play competitive golf, but not under the microscope of the Pro Tour.
What do you think, Jason? Do you follow this guy?
Yes, somewhat. And I agree with what was just said. I think he had kind of high expectations for himself and maybe underestimated how frustrating disc golf can be sometimes.
How do you pronounce coupon? I mean, coupon?
Coupon.
Which I think is the correct way, by the way, right? There's no Q in coupon.
What do you think, Andrew? You a Brody guy?
I mean, I don't think I'm his fan. Part of me wonders what his expectations were in the first place. Did he really expect to come out there and win tournaments? I'm not sure if he did. I think he wanted to be competitive, but I don't know if I buy that he was playing to beat Paul.
Right.
But I think, honestly, I think I respect him more for bowing out, because he could have just kept on playing and kept being on feature cards and kept getting being on Jomez probably as long as he wanted.
Right.
But I think he realized that these guys are crushing him. And I mean, I think good for him that go get some more practice in.
You don't think he just got his get freaky money and said, that's enough. That's enough video coverage for me.
That's definitely a good point. Maybe he did, I don't know, but I mean, he had some really high rated rounds. He's no slouch at disc golf. You know, he can play with the pros. I don't think he's going to beat any of the pros, but I think he's good enough to play on the tour.
Yeah. Pat, you didn't see any of those Kit Freaky zones that he sells?
No.
Oh yeah. He has a signature disc. Well, he's got lots of discs, but he has a, so it's so funny because, so the Get Freaky zone, it's a zone that has this obnoxious, swirly type font that says Get Freaky on it. Cause that's his tagline when he throws the zone during his covered rounds or whatever. And I've been throwing that zone. Literally the funniest thing is it's the Crystal Flex plastic zone.
Okay.
And the Crystal Flex plastic was literally only released twice in 2015 during the Ledgestone run.
Really?
And if you know Craig Henninger,
oh yeah.
You know the zones that he throws?
Yeah.
Those are Crystal Flex zones. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, and so for the longest time, Craig got me hooked on those. So I had been buying and buying and buying all of the run, all the ones I could find from that 2015 run so that I had backups. Well,
I traded you one.
You did. Yes, exactly. And actually, Pat, I throw that one. That's my main zone awesome. That I throw now.
I found the harp, so,
Yeah, exactly. But it's so funny because now the Crystal Flex plastic, I mean, I'm thankful because now it's one of their main runs, But the thing is, the zones that he – his specialty disc, ones with the Get Freaky stamp on them, they go for $150 in the secondary market right now, which is just absurd. That's it's Cloudbreaker 2 territory. So that's why I thought maybe, he got his signature disc out there. he's got that royalties coming in. Maybe he's good. But I think Andrew, that you're right. And Brian, if you're saying he's still going to play B and C tiers, then it sounds like he's committed.
Yeah. I mean, do you think he pulled away strictly for practice, or do you think his finishes were bad for his brand and that's why he did it?
Ooh, that's another good point.
Because I mean, he is a brand. He is selling himself. So him coming in 30th place, 40th place, even though he is learning and that's where he should be finishing at this point, that doesn't fit with the image of Brody Smith that he has created.
Yeah, I think it's a good business decision to quit for a while and get better.
You can use it and say, well, I just wanted to see what I was going up against before, so kind of dip my toe in the water, see what I was going up against. Now I know how hard I need to practice.
Right.
That it is a hard thing to do.
Which is what us guys that play intermediate do when we go up to advanced and we're like, holy crap, these guys, guys can go so much further than me. I'm going back down.
I just find it amazing if you just follow the tournament, just follow rec 1 week, and then the next week intermediate, just the amount of time people take, it's the better they are, the slower they are.
Oh, yeah. And,
it's amazing.
Well, I think it's because the more, you know, the more you play, the more, I mean, it's all about consistency. You know, you have to have a, and sometimes to get that consistency, you need a routine, you know, and if you break that routine, whereas some rec players that are stand, you know, they'll get to the tee and just run off the tee pad and throw. And, you know, I think it's just something that you develop as you try to dial in your form and your timing.
And that's another thing that I think gets in, and it, using myself as an example, say you don't have the best drive. Maybe you get halfway there and you're like, oh, you're already thinking, oh, I'll just pitch it up and take my three and move on. But that's when you get lazy and that's when you come up short, leave yourself a 20 footer, you miss it and you just took a bogey. And that's, you know, it just only happens to me a lot. Anything, any other topics anybody wanted to talk about? Any interest in another, also a disc golf disc trivia round?
They are my favorite. Is there television involved?
This one is music.
Music. All right. Yes, please.
There's more?
I added this. So this is for all the marbles.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Crap.
Not Beacon leads 32 to 25. So it's a nice cushion. We'll go Beacon first. Question one, also a disc golf disc music. Blue Oyster Cult's Buck Dharma wrote what song about after pondering dying young and whether loved ones are reunited?
Blue Oyster Cult, Don't Fear the Reaper, most likely.
And who makes the Reaper?
It doesn't that sound like a disc graph disc, Andrew?
Sounds like a disc.
They graph. Make an Undertaker. They make a...
Oh, man.
Doesn't that sound like something that would be up there, their alley?
For sure.
I heard you were the disc graph guy.
I'm a disc crap guy.
And you are
correct. I bag a buzz.
All right. That's it. We got it.
All right. Not Beacon. Heroin addiction is a theme of Hateful. One of the songs on what band's album, London Calling?
The Clash.
And who makes The Clash?
It's going to... I can see the stamp on them.
Jason, who makes the Clash?
I can't think of it.
I know they gave it to me last time. They're giving it to me again, but it's in the MVP Axiom fan. I know they're not going to be kind this time.
It is an Axiom disc. Beacon, what is the title of the 2013 hit song by Eminem that featured Rihanna?
Ooh, not my genre.
Eminem's not my guy, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Nothing?
2013 Eminem. I probably couldn't even name you an Eminem song from the last decade. I got nothing.
All right, not Beacon.
I don't got it. I can think of the one he did with Dido. That's the one I can think of. I don't know the
Jason,
one.
Jason, any thoughts?
No, so it'd be newer than that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. We were looking for The Monster. The Monster. And that is an Innova disc.
I keep on forgetting about the discs. I'm so focused on the question.
All right, question four is for Not Beacon. Born in the USA was the first album manufactured in the United States for commercial release in what format?
Come on.
So what?
Steel. Steel.
Born in the USA was the first album manufactured in the United States for commercial release in what format?
So that'd be like, I don't know how old that song is, but like A-track or cassette.
No, that was the compact disc, the CD.
CD?
Yeah.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Who makes the CD?
That's Discmania?
Yeah.
You are correct.
Nice.
All right. Ryan knew that one.
Sure did.
question five, Beacon. 101.5 WPDH is the home of what?
Can you say that again?
Sure. 101.5 WPDH is the home of what?
Rock. Innova Rock.
Did we get it?
They have been the home of rock at some times. I was hoping for classic rock, but yes, Innova makes it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Not Beacon. What was the title of the 2006 solo album by Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas?
Fergie?
I don't know.
She had that wonderful song, but that's all I know. I don't know Fergie's repertoire of albums.
No answer?
No.
All right. Beacon, what was the title of the 2006 solo album by Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas?
Ryan, I can only think of one Fergie song, which is Fergalicious, and I don't think that's a disc.
it's the album, though. It's on that album. I know I can like see the cover of it for whatever reason. I don't know the name of it, though.
No answer?
It's got a red background. That's all I can remember.
We were looking for The Duchess.
Ooh.
The Duchess, which is made by Disc Golf UK Limited. All right. Beacon, question 7. What 1990 song by the American rock band Faith No More peaked at number 9 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100?
Ryan, I apologize. I've never heard this band.
It's because they were probably one-hit wonder.
What?
I'm sorry, guys. Come on.
We got to get this. Otherwise, somebody's got it. Say it one more time, Pat.
What 1990 song by the American rock band Faith No More peaked at number 9 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100?
Can you like hum it or whistle it or something? give me a hint.
Is that your final answer?
we should just pick a disc.
Yeah. Wombat.
There you go. Hit a
wombat. Wombat. Not Beacon, do you have a guess?
That would be Epic was the song. And of course, right.
And who makes
the Arobi?
You are correct.
Nice.
You guys don't know the song, the Epic song from Faith No More? My God.
Can you sing it for us?
I could, but you don't want me to.
Listeners do.
In my car driving, yes, 100%. No problem.
All right. Question 8. Sorry.
Not Beacon.
Yes, not Beacon. What word is tattooed on the stomach of Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee?
Mayhem.
And who makes the mayhem?
Legacy?
Yeah, sounds good. Think,
Jason?
Yeah,
Legacy. And I was just, because I hadn't heard him. What's that?
Legacy?
Beacon, who makes the mayhem?
That's MVP or the other guys.
Axiom?
Axiom. It's one
Andrew,
of those two.
You agree?
Yeah.
You are correct.
Woo!
Specifically Axiom.
Good job, Ryan.
What an oddly specific question to know the answer to, Brian.
I'm an 80s kid. Like,
that was Beacon. No.
That was not Beacon, yeah.
Question 9. Beacon. Stephanie Germanotta was such a fan of what band that she took her stage name from one of their songs?
So it's Lady Gaga. Loved nice. Queen. Loved Queen. Radio Gaga. And so it'd be Queen, the Queen.
All right. And who makes the Queen?
Somebody makes the Crown, right? Isn't that, who makes the Crown? West Side makes the Crown. So it must be West Side probably makes the Queen. That'd be my guess, Andrew. Have you heard of the Queen?
Sounds good to me. West Side sounds good.
Yeah. Cause they make the King. West Side.
You are correct.
All right.
Way to go. I didn't pin you for Gaga. Yeah. I didn't pin you for a Lady Gaga fan.
Oh man. Love me some Gaga.
All right. We're halfway through the round. It is 7-7 for the round, but Beacon needs to pick up some points. Question 10. This is for not Beacon. What 1973 Pink Floyd song includes the lyric, "New car, caviar, four-star daydream, think I'll buy me a football team"? What 1973 Pink Floyd song includes the lyric, "New car, caviar, four-star daydream, think I'll buy me a football team"?
Oh, is that Money?
Brian?
That's what I would say.
You are correct. Sure, who makes that?
Who makes the money?
Who makes the money? Not me.
Please tell me. I want to buy this.
Yeah, I've never heard of that one.
It has been said tonight.
Said a lot.
That's true. That's why I said it.
Like, well, that narrows it down to almost every brand.
Any guess?
No, I've never heard of the money, and it doesn't fit with any naming conventions that I can think of.
Discraft.
Hey, that's me.
it worked before for us.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Not Beacon, do you have a guess? Who makes the money?
Oh, you mean Beacon. Yeah.
Yeah, Beacon, I'm sorry.
Well, of the ones that haven't been, we've got DGA, ABC, Millennium, Yakoon.
The UK Disc Association.
The Disc Golf Association, WA.
Disc Golf UK Limited.
There we go.
I'd say either, I'd say we haven't done ABC or DGA. I think there's already been a DGA. Let's go ABC.
I like ABC.
Final answer, ABC?
Sure.
That is correct.
Oh, all right. All right. Pat gave us a hint there.
What?
Oh, that it had been said already.
Oh, but we did literally say everyone that I feel comfortable doing. There are a couple more that are a little more. I mean, don't get me wrong. Disc Golf UK, if there wasn't a disc called The Duchess and an album called The Duchess.
Right. You know. I guess I interpreted it as one that hadn't been used yet for some reason.
Oh, yeah. No. I was just saying it had been said. Yeah. So question 11 goes to Beacon. In 1981, singer Bruce Dickinson replaced Paul Di'Anno as the frontman for what band?
Oh, man.
Wait, Bruce Dickinson? Was he...
One of the 80s bands. I can't...
Was he Iron Maiden?
No, that was... Isn't that Dio? Oh,
at some point.
For some reason, I'm thinking Motley Crue as well.
I want to say it's Iron Maiden, and then the Maiden is made by Westside.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Sounds good.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, he sounded very confident.
Not Beacon.
No.
They got it right.
No.
I was letting Not Beacon know that, hey, Beacon got that one right, Not Beacon.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
I say that one I knew too. That like.
But the question is, do you know this one?
Yeah.
Question 12, Not Beacon. Michael Jackson got a patent for a stage illusion, an anti-gravity effect used for what song on tour?
Smooth Criminal.
And who makes The Criminal?
Mm-hmm. Dynamic Discs.
All right. Question 13.
Were you at the concert, Brian? Is that why you know?
No.
In
the music video, that's the one where he like leans forward and he had this little.
Yeah, it's little it's the leaning one.
Like he clipped on to something on the stage and he could lean forward without falling over.
Yeah.
Doesn't everyone know that? That's common knowledge.
Psychotic. I did.
All right, Beacon, question 13. Song 2 by what band became an anthem of the National Hockey League? Song 2 by what band became an anthem of the National Hockey League?
Blur?
And
Blur,
who,
right?
Who makes the Blur?
Woohoo! We all know it.
I don't know who makes the Blur, though.
Could that be like an Axiom MVP?
Sounds like it would
Science
be, yeah. Cause like,
something.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
MVP Axiom?
Yep.
Not Beacon, what do you got?
Oh,
who makes the Blur?
I thought that's what I would have guessed.
I have no idea who makes the Blur. So anything you want, Jason?
No idea.
Has it been said tonight, Pat?
you got to
get that. After I give you the answer? I'll tell you after you give up.
All right. So who didn't we say tonight? We said Millennium. It's going to be an odd one. Yeah. Blur. I don't got it. Discraft.
Final answer, Discraft. We were looking for Gateway. Gateway Discs. All right. Question 14. This is for Beacon. Not Beacon. I'm sorry. This is for Not Beacon. The concert grand type of what instrument has 47 keys? 3 more than half the number of keys on a piano. The concert grand type of what instrument has 47 keys? 3 more than half the number of keys on a piano.
Ooh. Oh, all right. Sorry. One more time.
This is for Not Beacon.
Not
right?
Beacon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The concert, but I'll do it one more time anyway.
I was like reading, I think Chadwick Boseman just died.
Oh, really?
What?
Isn't that
some
that's
people?
The guy Black Panther?
Black Panther?
Yeah. I'm seeing stuff on Facebook right now. Sorry. I didn't mean to kill your.
No. That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeez. Died at cancer at 43. Oh, that's so sad.
Is he that old? I thought he was
younger. He was 43? Wow.
That's That's crazy. I thought he was in his like late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah,
right? Wow. So he passed away, huh? Like,
yeah, isn't that crazy?
Again, one of the things, like, not that we should know that he's sick, but like, I don't remember ever hearing anything about him having cancer.
Which is probably a good thing. You know, he was able to keep it private,
right.
Which is good. You know, yeah, man, Black Panther was so good.
Yes, it was.
What else was he in? Did he play? I think he played Jackie Robinson, didn't he?
There was something else that he, yeah. Oh, he played Jackie Robinson. He played James Brown. James Brown. He played Thurgood Marshall.
Oh wow!
Wow, it says it was a 4-year fight with colon cancer.
Gosh. Oh man, don't they start screening you for that when you're? I'm like gonna be 33 shortly in October, and I think that's something that they start screening for soon.
I think if you have family history, it's like
family history with it.
It's like 40, but otherwise, I think 50 is your first check inside and out. Wow,
poor one on the curb.
Wakanda hey, guys, forever.
Yeah.
All right. Keyed instrument, right, is what we're looking for.
Yes.
In the piano family, that would be your harpsichord. Is I'm going with.
Oh, like a harp.
And like a harp.
Final answer.
What do you think, Jason?
It's a disc, so that's a good sign.
All right. So we'll go with a harp by Latitude.
The harp is correct.
Nice.
Beacon.
Oh.
Do you know who makes the harp?
Oh, crap.
The harp?
Yeah, it's a West Side.
It's West Side.
Yeah. That's the thing. I didn't know what to say because if anything I said would have.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because you would give both at the same time. So it kind of threw me. But all right.
Fine. I deserve
you guys are just playing out. You guys are just parring out anyway.
Fairways and greens, Pat.
This is match play trivia, right?
Yeah. Question 15. This goes to Beacon.
All right.
As soon as I find my pen, which is in my other hand. Okay. Question 15. What band reached number 4 on the Billboard 100 with their 1994 hit, Return to Innocence?
Enya. The Enya.
And who makes the Enya?
All right, I take that back.
Man, I can like hum that song, but I can't think of
it. Can you hum it to me? I swear.
Well, there's like a Native American like chant to it, right? Like, hey, return it. All right, I won't do it.
I can't even think of the song.
You guys want to take a guess?
I got no guess.
What was the year? 94, you said?
94, yes.
I don't know. Is it a grungy song?
I would definitely say that this was a one-hit wonder, though. I give you guys too many hints. Well, you guys need it, so.
I don't know. The Nirvana.
Yeah.
And who make, not Beacon. What band reached number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100 with their 1994 hit, Return to Innocence?
Now, the good thing is my musical taste varies greatly. And the band is Enigma.
Nice.
Oh, that's one of my go-to drivers.
And who makes the Enigma?
Discmania.
Correct. Now you guys get question 16. Not Beacon. Who was backed by London's Royal Philharmonic Concert Orchestra on his 2010 tour, which he called Symphonicity?
Oh, the Simpsons did a parody of it, didn't they?
Do you got it, Jason?
No, I can't think of it, but I feel like the Simpsons did a parody of it too.
Honestly, based on, I'm going to go with Sting doing a play on Synchronicity. So Sting.
Jason, you agree?
Yeah, we can go with that.
Who makes the Sting?
Nice.
Same ones that make the Buzz. Discraft.
All right.
Nice job, Brian.
Sometimes I forget that Brian was almost done Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
I haven't forgotten about it.
Well, no. I think about that every question.
The police are from England. They had Synchronicity, Symphonicity. It's just kind of putting it all together.
Question 17 goes to Beacon. In 2019, what hard rock band led by Maynard James Keenan, no relation, released its first album in 13 years, and it went to number 1?
Be Tool, probably, right?
Andrew?
Sure.
And who makes the Tool?
Right. Doesn't really line up with any of the themes of any disc golf companies I know. The Tool. Oh, doesn't somebody make a hatchet? Who makes a hatchet?
Does the West Side make the hatchet?
Yes.
That was a guess.
I know. I think you might be right. Yeah, it's a West Side disc. So let's go with West Side, right? Because it's a hatchet's tool. How's that sound? West Side. Final answer.
Not Beacon. Who makes the tool?
I have no idea who makes the tool. I'm going to go with it's an off-brand one again, though.
Yeah.
I think it's Lightning Discs has like the upshot, the hook, and like all those ones. Like
the, yeah, they have like the flyer, the number one.
Yeah.
Two driver.
All those ones. I mean, the disc is the tool to use. I don't know. Like, I have no clue.
Could yeah, I don't know. Any, I guess?
You want to just throw something out?
We'll go with Lightning.
We're looking for Whammo.
Whammo.
It's an older one.
Whammo tool.
The tool T501 mold, super class and vintage class. August 10th, 1995. All right. Final question. This is for no consequence, but just
can't
to ask.
Can't we bet it all?
Yeah. What happened to that?
I don't like it.
I got to figure this trivia thing out. I'm just, you know.
It's fine. We deserve to lose. At.
What's that?
You're doing just fine. Don't let them.
Thank you. All right. Final question, not Beacon. A group of deadly arachnids or the German rock band formed in 1965 that went platinum with Love at First Sting.
What year did you say?
1965.
They are that old.
A group of arachnids or the German rock band formed in 1965 that went platinum with Love at First Sting.
So it's a disc, right?
I don't know who makes it. It the disc is the Scorpion, because it's the Scorpions would be the band.
All right.
Okay.
And who makes it?
Who makes the Scorpion?
Oh, is that Millennium? Or
I don't know.
I can see the disc. It's Metal Flake. I'm just can't think of who makes it. It's
who makes? Who makes a spider?
That's
I'm going like up.
I think that's Innova.
Oh, like do they have a line like that?
Is it Orion? I'm thinking it's like Orion.
Yeah,
Orion.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll go with that. Yeah.
All right. Beacon, what do you got?
The Millennium Scorpius.
Scorpions. Who makes Scorpion?
Oh, it's not the Scorpius. Okay. I thought it was just one of those. You can be half right with Pat's answers. Damn. there's a Scorpion. Okay. And you guys guessed Orion, which is a disc that Millennium makes, I think. Who makes a Scorpion? Sounds like an Innova disc.
Sounds like an Innova disc.
Hi. Is that your final answer?
Must be an Innova disc.
Because it's an Innova disc.
Oh, yes.
What? Oh, man.
You were right with the
spider.
Does
that mean we win?
I'm tabulating the points right now.
It's like when you're, you know, five over par, but you at least like can a 40 footer to end your round. You're like, all right, that's what this feels like.
That's true.
Do they have more discs? Like I said, like the spider, the scorpion, the.
Yeah, you were right. They there's the spider and oh man, shit.
So I have the total here. Our winners tonight with 48 points, not Beacon.
Woo.
Congrats, Brian.
And Beacon, you had 39.
All right.
We would have bet it all on that last question. And every single one of those points, we would have bet them.
Now,
but unfortunately, the Scorpius was wrong, so.
That's true. No. That's true. Well, I wouldn't even have gotten the band in the first place.
So what I totally forgot to do was to... The picks. I don't even know who picked who. I have it here somewhere, but I totally forgot to organize that.
I found my notes. I know who I picked, but I don't know what I
does anybody about. Does everybody else know who they picked?
I was looking forward to learning who I picked.
It would take me too long to find it. So I'll see if I can figure out something for the next time. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to talk about?
Pat, do you want to talk about the Antisocial League?
Oh yeah,
I guess so. That started today. The Friday Antisocial, it's basically a play on, we usually have our Friday social, but it's a PDGA/handicap league. The raw scores go to PDGA, but I'm setting it up as a handicap league so that, you know, people can play against each other. It's basically, though, you can play anytime on Friday. So as long as you play with somebody else in the league. Yeah.
And how, all right, so I'm going to sound like an idiot here. How do you establish your handicap? And does it change over the course of the season? And how, like, how does this, how does it operate? I literally have, do not understand how handicaps work.
Well, basically, the spreadsheet for the handicap league, this is a test run. It's basically going to go 8 weeks until the week before the Blaze. And then see if it, if, you know, if it's successful, which today was the first day we had 20 people.
Oh, wow.
That was a lot 20, of people.
21 people. Yeah. And I might even, there might be a couple that I haven't even seen yet, but not all of those before we started last week, and you needed 3 rounds to play on this one particular layout to establish a handicap. That I was pretty loose on. I mean, most people played with other people, but a couple, you know, if they, you know, basically it's Beacon, your score is going to vary. But I stole a spreadsheet from some dude. So I believe it takes the average of the last 3, and then it'll take like 5, and it'll drop like the lowest or something like that, and then take the 4 averages. But it does change. And the more it goes, the more it should change, you know, and be a little more specific to you.
So you get 3 rounds before you play the first rated round. That establishes your, and what is the handicap is represented by how many additional stroke, like whoever is the best.
Yeah. So I'll tell you this, Eric Mowry played, his handicap was -6. So he walks in with 6 extra, you know, like with a +6.
With the deficit of 6 strokes, he's got to pick up.
Got and it. You know what he shot today?
10.
8. So he ended up at -2.
Good for Eric.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the layout looking like for the handicap league?
It's the original 18 plus 6 AB and 20. So I just want people to know what the original was, you know?
Nice. I like that.
We had going in, we started last Friday, going into this morning or today, there were 11 people who had already got their 3 rounds in. And again, today, even if it was their third, there was a few, I know a few people like Monroe got their 3rd round today. So we're going to have, you know, once I put the scores in, which I didn't because Andrew and I basically played around and then came right over here, to record. But, I don't know. It seems like it's people dig it.
Do you have to play every week?
No. Basically you'll have your 3 for seeding, and then just, it would be based on whenever the next week you play is. It's basically, I wanted to have as many options as possible. So you have your PDGA league, if you want to get your rating, you have a handicap league. Like I know Mowry would really like to have some kind of competition. You know what I mean?
Right. Sure.
Especially at Beacon, and I'm not saying he's, you know, Macbeth or anything, but at Beacon, you know, he usually handles people pretty well. Mm-hmm. And then
he can roll in with 3 discs and a plastic bag and
have with a kid on his back.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it'll promote Andrew and his gambling habit. I know that that's one downside, but
no, I'm not Bet Mowry anymore. That was a mistake.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought, and it's really, I just took a bunch of what people, what it seemed like that's what people were interested in right now.
Is there a cost to play?
Basically, there's an ace pot for $1. There's a no bogey pot for $1.
I like that.
So if you don't get any bogeys, and then I'm trying to get the whole point is for everybody to get better, and then for the PDGA league, it's $1, so 50 cents.
Well, yeah, that's what I was wondering, because I know the guys down at Wedge do a couple of those, and it's like $2 to play the league.
That's what I was, that part, because the PDGA thing, to be honest, it's really just for people who want to get ratings. Right. The competition part is more the handicap. Right. So what I'm thinking of is once we get enough people, maybe next week we'll have enough people, 20 or 30 people. We figure out a monetary amount. Like, what do people want to, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like maybe even nothing, not much right now, but wait until Dubs is over. Cause then Del Bianco said something about trying to run Dubs till the Blaze.
Okay.
So if he does that, then you're talking about 2 days during the week where you're paying, you know, and then 3 if you throw in Sunday Dubs. So I would probably keep it at a couple bucks for this tester league. And then maybe after the Blaze, maybe bump it up to like $5 for the winter.
Right.
You know, and then that way, and just use the Dubs payout chart.
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense.
Your Dubs during the week, what time do you guys start that?
Well, he's going to, right now, I think we started, well, we were supposed to start at 5:20 last week. What was it, Andrew? Or no, Andrew, you didn't even make it, did you?
Last week? I was not there last week.
But I don't think we got out until like 5:37 or something. Well, it was crazy.
The reason I asked, because down here, we're still starting at 6. So mm-hmm. like.
Whoa.
You know, yeah, exactly. So 2 weeks ago, we did a silver blue front, silver silver back, and the last card finished in the complete dark. And so we switched to like all silvers, which are the shorter ones. But and then the last couple of cards, you know, if you get stuck playing like 11 or 12 in the woods or anywhere in the front as you're ending holes, you're going to be playing in, you know, kind of close to dark, and if not dark now. So I was just wondering like how early you guys start.
Well, that's the thing, because step one is usually knock it down to 18 holes instead of 21.
Yeah.
And then just everything short. And then what he's going to have to do is, and he said it, he's like, I'll just have to go earlier. You know, there are a bunch of people that play there during the day. You might, your dubs at that point might be 10 to 15 people, but still, you know,
it still happens. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as there's enough people to be interested in, they'll keep going.
Okay. Just wondering.
No, that's cool. Any other questions?
No, it's just so sad that it's starting to get dark again.
Yeah.
The worst.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good news is that means I'll be able to record a little earlier. I was telling Andrew, I mean, basically, the whole point of this is to talk about disc golf. So why not give people the opportunity to play? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Yep. I have to I can't play. I got to talk about disc golf. Yeah, no, play, you know, then talk. I haven't even bathed yet. Brian, you survived your first, your second. Did you have fun?
Oh, I definitely had a blast doing this. Thanks for having me.
Oh, cool. Thank you. When's the next time you expect to play around?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, it was going to be tomorrow, but like with the rain, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring like, but I'll probably go out Sunday.
All right.
Somewhere.
Jason, what about you? When's your next round coming out?
Yeah, I want to play Sunday. I don't know where.
Okay, wait. Yeah, I was going to say, the next round you're going to play not in your backyard.
No, I gave up on my course. It's too much. It's easier just to go out and play.
Oh.
I have like the wooded holes that I can play, but mowing too much work.
Heck yeah. So you said Sunday as well?
Yeah, did you say you have dubs on Sunday?
At Beacon, yeah. Sunday dubs at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, Jason, you should come.
Have you played Beacon, Jason?
He won.
I was AM1 champion 2000. Yo. Was that 14 or 15?
Yeah. Wow. Was it down the Beacon Path?
Yeah. Yep. That was a Mike Solt tournament. That was fun.
Oh wow.
It was a 3-way playoff.
Four holes. We found out.
Was it four holes?
Yeah. That's what he. Remember, Mr. Disc Golf said that. He's like, yeah. 4-hole playoff. I was like, what? I had to listen to it like 8 times. You're forgiven for not.
Yeah. I'll talk to Jess and see if she wants to go down.
That would be awesome. Ryan, when are you playing next?
So tomorrow I've got a tournament and it's going to be thunderstorming all day.
It looks nasty tomorrow, right?
It sure does. Yeah. The I was looking at the radar. It's like, it's not even the hurricane's going to be coming through soon. So this isn't even the hurricane. This is just like a front coming in from like the west. And it's hitting PA tomorrow, but it looks like, it doesn't look like it's going too far north. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's going to hit you guys or not. But yeah, tomorrow. And the thing is, it'll be interesting because it's a 2-round tournament, 1 round at Jordan, 1 round at South Mountain. And I mean, it's a field of like 180 players.
Oh, wow.
With dedicated tee times, and you're with your card the entire day and you just tee off 4 hours after your start time for the previous round. But, you know, it's going to be interesting with like lightning delays. If that happens, you know, what's going to happen with, you know, the new tee, the people that are teeing off, right? Because they're going to have to queue up and things are going to get pushed back a half an hour.
Mm.
But what I thought was interesting is I just read on the TD, the one pager they put out that they're using live scoring, and so they're actually going to be able to message people through the app if there's a lightning delay, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty neat. But yeah, it's going to be a swampy mess tomorrow. Can't wait. The awesome open, or the not so awesome open. Yeah. Yep. It's cross town, Bethlehem, Allentown, Jordan Parkway, and South Mountain. Luckily, we start at Jordan, which is, gets a little swampier than South Mountain. South Mountain is like Beacon, where you can kind of just play no matter what, like how much rain you get. Jordan though has a couple of holes that you know, one of them there's
going underwater.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're kind of below the creek there, so it can get pretty bad. So I'm excited that I'm at least playing that first. But yeah, I'm not. It, you know, it'll be fun. We get to pick our cards, so I'm with a fun group of guys. If it was unsanctioned, I might be bringing a whiskey flask along with, but make it a little bit more palatable. It's going to be just like the Beacon Blaze in 2018.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, hey, who won that, I wonder?
Yeah, I did. So hopefully, generally, yeah. I'm pretty patient in the rain. You know, yeah. I make sure that everything's dry. I've got my system. Some people just get like irritated and they just like run out and throw. And, yeah. You know, I think yeah, as long as you're diligent.
I don't know of anybody like that. But yeah, I've heard.
So, yeah, hopefully my patience can win out in the end. Depends on even who goes out and plays. Hopefully people don't wimp out.
Awesome. Andrew, what about you? When's your next play? I know you're coming Sunday for Dubs now.
Yeah, I'm planning on being there for Dubs. I would love to get around in tomorrow, but now that y'all are talking about rain, maybe not. I also have my next match play on Sunday at 3:30 at Kisco. Okay. So I'll be doing that.
And that's how many are left in that?
It's down to the wire. I think if I wanted to win the whole, I'm still in the loser's bracket. So I think if I win three more matches, then I would, it's like three or four that I would play the winner of the not loser's bracket.
And then that person you have to beat twice, I imagine.
Right.
Because they haven't lost yet.
Yeah.
I've been trying to follow this SummerSlam demic, and I thought it was like I have no idea how it works. It just seems like it's been going on all,
yeah,
all summer.
I mean, it's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
Like for sure. I mean, I guess it's because like, you know, you kind of like make your own schedule.
Right.
And at least in my bracket, there was like 40 people, double elimination. So there was a lot of matches that were happening. Wow. But now I think there's only like maybe like 8 or 9 matches total like left.
Wow. But it was very much like March Madness. That first couple weeks to a month, there was a lot of talk. And now it's
a lot
like
of movement.
Where's my plane?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, good luck, Andrew.
Thanks, man.
Oh, yes. Good luck, man.
Thanks. Yeah. I just hope to like have fun, you know. So I'm playing Chris Lucier. I've never met him or played against him. I'm just hoping to have a good time out there.
I think he's, you know what? I've limited contact with him, but I think he's a really nice guy from what I've experienced. All right, well, fellas, for Brian Heller, Ryan Nelson, Jason Lasasso, and Andrew Barger, my name's Pat Keenan, Sweet Up Hudson Valley.